asked me what I'm going to do. The knives, sharp knives, you see them? No, they are not to dismember your precious John. Flesh buried, decays, and is gone. I want your dear John with me for a long time. Again, you ask the question. I'm trying so hard to explain. He's dead, and he will be dead. But in his death, he will serve a purpose. You remember I told you my savage Brazilian friends, the Yavaros, have a quaint custom of shrinking and preserving the bodies of their enemies. Well, I studied their methods most carefully. John Douglas was my enemy. Here he lies. And I will do with him as the Yavaros do with their enemies. So, now you understand. When I'm through with him, your lover will be a little leathery-skinned man, a doll-like in size, a trophy for my trophy room. Who will suspect that in that little leathery doll-like figure is the body of an Englishman? And so he will amuse me in his death. Yes. And you will sit there, my little wife. You will sit in that chair for the many days it will take me to prepare the carcass. You will sit and watch me day after day as with smoke and with heat I make the strong body of your lover smaller and smaller. You will sit there.
Ladies and gentlemen, a deep breath, please, before we go on with this story of a jealous husband and the strange and terrible revenge he took against his wife and the man she loved. Yes, before we go on with tonight's Lights Out story, a moment for relaxation and a return to the realities of today. The place is a shipyard, and a worker is saying,
I quit my desk job because I wanted to help build ships to win the war, but I'm afraid I can't keep on. I'm losing weight. I'm so restless, I lay awake most of last night again. I feel so tired out so often when I know I shouldn't. I hardly know what to do.
Do? Why, find the cause of your trouble. And if it's a deficiency of vitamin B1 and iron, get ionized yeast tablets.
Vitamin B1 and iron? Ionized yeast tablets? I don't understand.
You see, you're working harder now, so naturally you need more strength and energy. But when you don't get enough vitamin B1 from your food, you may lose your appetite, not eat all you need, and so lose weight and strength. And without enough iron, you may be weak and pale and too often feel all in. But ionized yeast tablets give you both vital substances. Vitamin B1 with iron.
Maybe I better try ionized yeast tablets.
By all means do if you're deficient in vitamin B1 and iron. Ionized yeast tablets have greatly helped many, many others with these deficiencies. See if they're not of equal benefit to you. See if before long you too aren't saying,
since I've been feeling so much better, I sleep like a baby. That tired out feeling is gone. I'm sure glad I tried ionized yeast tablets.
And now back to our Lights Out story of the little people.
Fire is warm. Hell. Warm, so very warm. The air filled with smoke. Dry, swirling smoke. See how it coils around him. At first, how often you cried out when I talked like this, but now you're silent. Weeks. How many weeks has it been? 4, 5, 6... It used to take my savage friends 10 weeks to dry and cure the bodies of their enemies. 10 weeks. And I have done it in 5. Look at him. 6 foot strong and broad he was, but now a doll in size, a small brown doll. Oh, what weary days they've been, filling the body full of sand and slowly turning in the smoke and the heat, not too quickly, not too slowly, not too close to the flames. And now, the man that was John Douglas, a doll, a brown doll of death. The flames are noisy. Noisy as you are silent, little Ellen. You are... Oh, I hadn't noticed. Your eyes are closed. Wake up. Wake up! Wake up, I say. You've got to look at him. Your eyes have got to see him. You've got to see him. You're speaking. I cannot understand you. The gag, yes. Yes, I will take it off. Sitting there all these weeks, you haven't got the strength. There, that does it. Your lips are free. Well, look at him, Helen. Look at him and tell me what you think of John Douglas now.
Smoke twisting and twisting around him. Smoke is taking him. Where is he gone?
Helen!
Where is he gone?
Helen!
Smoke, smoke. I'll go to him and he smoke. He's waiting.
Helen, stop. Stop, you hear? Understand? You must understand.
Smoke, he will wait for me.
Smoke. What are you raving about?
Yes, smoke. See how it curls around him.
No.
He's waiting.
No, stop talking like that. Stop talking like that, I say.
He's waving.
The knife. Where is the knife? I'll stop you now. Ellen, I... All right. Dead. Up on the table with you. I must prepare you, Ellen, for the smoke and the fire. Took me 5 weeks with him, and now 5 more weeks with you. And then you will be as he is. Brown with the smoke of the curing fire. A little dull in size.
The Kayans of Borneo and the Celebes are not the only savage tribes which indulged in this most curious pastime of collecting human heads as trophies. In my travels in far-off places, I have come across at least 20 other races who participate in this strange custom.
Let's get out of here, Mamie. Weather means as dry as dust. Oh, but who cares about head hunting men and the likes of that? Let's get out of here and go to a cinema. Quiet.
Oh,
all right.
And they went raiding and killing their enemies, generally in nocturnal surprises. These savages severed the heads of the dead and returned with them to their villages. Members of the tribe believe their rank in the next world depends upon the number of heads secured. But, unquestionably, the most curious custom is found among the Yavaros of South America, who not only sever the heads of their enemies, but also are known to shrink the bodies of the dead until they are small, almost doll-like in size. These bodies are kept in the large huts and treasured highly. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I have a surprise for you. In my recent trip to South America and my visit to the Yavaros, at great personal risk, I was able to procure 2 of the macabre specimens. Yes, I have here in this trunk the shrunken bodies of 2 full-sized human beings. That is, at one time they were full-sized, but now they are the size of large dolls. A man and a woman, ladies and gentlemen, perfectly preserved. The only specimens of their kind in existence outside of the sulfur jungles of South America. Never before have they been seen or displayed upon the lecture platform, but tonight I am going to show them to you.
Now you make your public debut, my 2 beauties. Ellen and John, the new sensation of the lecture stage.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you please, presenting 2 perfect specimens, the only ones of their kind, of the secret process which enables the savages of the jungles of South America to reduce their enemies to doll-like size. Here we have a living man, about 6 foot in size during his lifetime, now reduced to midget size. And likewise, here a woman, once a living, breathing individual like you and you and you, now this horrible trophy of the curer's art.
You see, Ellen and John, they like you. You are a success. A huge success. You're talking. No. No, you cannot talk. Dad, you cannot talk. No. You cannot talk. You're dead. You're both of you dead. Stop. Stop. Stop.
sure, Captain. It's a strange passenger we got aboard this time, I must say.
Oh, you mean Strensky? Aye, strange he is, mate.
But what's he running away from, sir?
Oh, sure, mate. That ain't a proper question to be asking of a man when he lays as many pound notes on the table as that man did for this passage. Get me out of England tonight, he said. And get him out of England I did.
Now, could he be one of them embezzlers?
Oh, aye, that he might. The trunk he was carrying, well, he wouldn't let any of the men lay a hand on it. He brought it down to the cabin himself.
I'd like to get a look in it.
Aye, and so would I. But he stays in that cabin of his all the time. He's down there now. And I'll bet he's looking in that trunk this very...
The cabin door is locked. No one can come in when the door is locked. It's going to stay locked until we get there. South America, they won't get me there. No one will get me there. Why did I run away? What's the matter with me? No one heard them but I. No one in the audience but I. They're in that trunk there. There's two of them. Why don't I find out now if no one heard them but I? Why don't I? For sure. Yes, I must. No, they couldn't have talked, not they. There's two of you lying there. You didn't talk, did you? No. No, of course you didn't. You're dead. You're more than dead. Hollow flesh shrunk by the smoke of heat until you're smoky little dolls. Aaron and John, I'm free of you forever. Forever. You, Alan, thing that was Alan, why don't you say something? Again, I heard you again, the two of you, I heard you. No, stop it, you little things, you can't speak, you're dead, burned in the flames, stop it. All right, I'll stop you. Into the sea, I'll throw you into the sea. Come, you and you, I've got you in my hands, I'll throw you into the sea. First you, Evan, into the water. There. And now you, John, into the sea, and stop that tongue of yours. There. Now I'm through with you. Through with you, the water will stop your mouth. It stopped it. I'm free of you forever. The two of you forever.
What's the matter?
Oh, what do you mean, Captain? Nothing is the matter.
Well, I thought I saw you throw something in the water. In fact, I'm sure of it.
Oh, just some old things. Yes, that's it. Some old things I didn't want.
Oh, I see. Well, as long as everything's all right.
Yes. Everything's all right. Now.
It is a weird night, isn't it?
Weird? Why do you say that, man?
Yeah, it's so dark. No moon, not a star in the sky. It's like we were sailing at the black of a tomb without even candlelight to lead us. You know, if I was a superstitious... What in the devil's name is that?
What? What are you talking about?
There, to starboard, see? Two lights. Take it, what lights are those?
They're coming closer.
Star, ship lights? No, that can't be. Why, I've sailed these waters for 15 years.
It's they.
What?
The two of them, their faces, see them gleaming faces. Aaron, John, get back. Back to the water I threw you in. Back.
Trensky, what's back. Come over you? Back. Stop leaning over the back. Rail. You'll fall in. You'll fall in, man. Ah! Come out.
Help. I fell in. Help me. Here. I'm here. Save me! Save me!
They're coming for you! Stay afloat! Stay afloat!
Yes, I'll stay afloat. They'll save me. I won't die. I won't. They'll save me.
No, Peter.
Huh?
Take his other arm, Evan. I have his legs.
No. Let go of me. Let go.
Come, Strensky.
Join us.
No. Stop. Alan, John, the two of you, stop. You're pulling me under. Drowning me.
Well, Mr. Obler,
Well, Mr. Martin, what are you looking for tonight? Rationalization, morals? For, of course, the moral of tonight's story is a healthy and a hopeful one, that evil is its own undoing. That reminds me, Frank, outside of Hitler, Hirohito and Company, have you a nomination for the evilest man of the year?
Well, leaving Hitler and his fang-toothed friend out of it sort of restricts me, doesn't it?
No, because anyone who thinks that evil is impersonated only by the militarist is quite naive. But you have your say, and then I'll have mine.
Do people say you're slipping, that you can't take it anymore? Well, if you're short on vitamin B1 and iron, if that's why you're losing your pep and sparkle, remember, ironized yeast tablets supply both vital substances. Of course, a rundown condition may be due to other causes. If in doubt, see your doctor. But if you simply need more vitamin B1 and iron, get ironized yeast tablets right away. They've been of great help in scores of such cases. In fact, ironized yeast has been so successful that it's sold on this no-risk, money-back basis. If you don't begin to eat better, to feel better, and so sleep better, the cost of the first bottle will be refunded to you in full by ironized yeast, Box IY, Rahway, New Jersey. And now, what about this Mr. Evil of 1943?
Well, I'd like to tell you about the evil now. I feel like it, but I'm going to tell about him in a play called Murder Castle. Yes, Mr. Evil of 1943. It takes place, as usual, at a time called next week.
Yes, tune in next Tuesday again for Arch Obler's eerie story, Murder Castle. And if you need more vitamin B1 and iron, be sure to try ironized yeast. But remember, there's only one ironized yeast. You'll know it instantly by the yellow and orange package and by the big letters IY on the container and on each tablet.
Those white shoes you now own are not going to be easy to replace. So give them the best of care. Clean them with Energene Shoe White. It's made only with the very whitest pigment. And that amazingly white pigment is thoroughly mixed into every particle of every drop of Energene Shoe White. So it goes on smoothly and dries quickly to a really white white. Keep your white shoes looking better longer. Buy Energene Shoe White. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Satan has tried to reach out and steal thy loved one's ears and make them listen to the most nauseating songs over and over again. But I'm telling you right now, all you have to do to stop this marvelous miracle to happen for all of us and keep the radio waves just as strange as they can be, by going to CKUW.ca to donate today. Yes, it's a fundraiser. It needs to happen. And the remainder of this year and the outcome of the next future millennium is counting on you to stop the vile ones from spreading their ill will and spreading their mighty elite army that will destroy all of our ears forever. Save your eardrums. Save us all. Go to CKUW.ca right now. Save us, Mr. Mumbles.
The National Broadcasting Company invites you by transcription to join The Chase. In the animal world, there is the hunter and the hunted, hound and fox, hawk and sparrow, cat and mouse. We in the topmost species have also joined the hunt. But who is to judge precisely which of us are hounds or foxes as we enter the chase?
Hey, folks, hey, looky, step right up and buy your tickets by the strip. Hey, looky, step right up and buy your tickets by the strip. One for young and old.
I did it again, Kathy. Put both those last two candles out with just two shots.
Too bad we don't have prizes at this gallery, mister. You'd clean me out.
I told you my name was Bob. Now, how many shots have I got left for my quarter?
Three, I think.
Well, light up those candles again and watch them get knocked out.
You're a regular one-man fire department. Don't you want to try for those tin ducks or the clay pipes, sir?
Light the candles, Kathy. I'm a specialist.
How'd you find out my name?
Oh, it wasn't too hard. I went over to Madame Miranda's there at the fortune-telling booth and made a bet with her.
About me?
I bet her half a dollar your name was Melinda.
And Myra Miranda told you my name was Kathy?
I'd too to collect a half dollar. But I told you for free that my name was Bob. Aren't you ever going to use it?
Excuse me, Bud. Oh. Kathy, can you get the stand closed up and come over to Adam's office for a minute?
Closed up? What for, Tipper?
Well, there's been a little trouble. The boss wants you to confirm a statement he's making.
Hey, wait a minute, Kathy. You won't have to go to all the trouble of closing up. I can mind a concession for you if this won't take too long.
This kid a friend of yours, Kathy?
Well, yes, I know him, but I don't know.
Okay, we'll get your bills out of the register and let him take over. The worst he can do is fire off a few free shots. It'd look better if the place stays open anyway.
Bob, you're sure you don't mind?
Run along, Kathy. It'll be a pleasure to hold the fort for you.
One thing, kid. Anybody asks you, don't start saying there's been trouble. It's all over. We don't want to start stampeding any of the Saturday night crowds. You got that straight?
No, I'm not even asking what the trouble is, am I? If it'll help Kathy out, that's all I have to know.
Thanks, Bob. I'll try to be back as fast as I can.
Let's go, Kathy.
Tipper, this must be real trouble. I can tell.
Oh, I wouldn't call it real trouble, Kathy. At least not for anybody but old Uncle Billy.
Uncle Billy? That poor old man isn't off on a bender again.
Old Billy's done all the drinking he's ever going to do. Well, we fished him out of the water in the Tunnel of Love about half an hour ago.
Out of the...
Drowned in the dark there in 2 feet of water. The doc just gave up trying to bring him around, and there's an ambulance waiting on the side alley to take him to the morgue.
Oh, Tipper. You said there was just a little trouble.
We're all sorry about it, but, well, as Adam says, we've still got a Saturday night crowd here. Billy had to get blind drunk and go stumbling into the tunnel. Is that any reason for spoiling Saturday night for all the hundreds of customers here?
Is it the customers' feelings Adam is concerned about or the cash registers that wouldn't ring if this news got around?
Now, take it easy, kid. Take it easy. There's a cop over in the office. All he wants is to have Myra, Loranda, you, and a couple of more of us back up what Adam told him about Billy always hitting the bottle and having a weak heart. Here, we can go in the side door. Duck that mob out in front.
Is this the man you knew as William Connery, Miss Owens?
Yes. We all knew him as Uncle Billy, officer.
Okay, the name was Connery. We got that pinned down. Now, you didn't know him before he came here to do odd jobs around the park for Mr. Sadlick here?
No.
You don't know of any relatives he might have?
He never talked about any, at least not to me.
But you did know him pretty well. Your boss says you were kind of a favor of the old man.
Yes, I always liked him.
Yeah, he got drunk every Saturday night regular, didn't he? Real drunk.
Billy never hurt anybody but himself. And if he did take a few drinks once in a while, I don't...
Just answer Officer Keogh's questions, Kathy.
Well, Adam, it's not fair with poor Billy lying there.
The officer has his report to make, Kathy, and he's only trying to confirm what we all know happened.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Sadlick. The old guy could really tie one on, couldn't he, Miss Owens? Guess those he didn't know whether he was coming or going.
Yes, I've seen Billy with too much, officer, but I saw him about 2 hours ago when I went over to get something to eat, and I'm not sure he was drinking at all tonight.
What do you mean?
Well, he was worried about something he'd found. He started to ask me about it and then said I probably wouldn't know either. It's just some scrap celluloid he had in a blue tobacco can.
A blue tobacco can? Like this one?
Yes, I'm almost sure that's the can he had. And he didn't seem as if he'd been drinking.
Now, Mr. Sadlick here tells me the can was empty when they found it on him after fishing him out of the water. You sure the old guy wasn't just kidding you, Miss Owens?
Well, of course, I don't really know whether it has anything to do with it.
Thanks very much, Kathy. You've confirmed what Officer Keogh wanted to know. If there are any minor loose ends, officer, your people can get to him tomorrow, can't they?
Well, I suppose I have got enough for this preliminary report, and seeing as we got the doctor's findings to back it up,
All squared away. The body can be moved out quietly to the morgue with no further trouble for anybody. All right, Kathy, you can get back to shooting gallery now, and I'll let you know about the funeral plans when we get them worked out.
Tell your future, folks. Seventh daughter of a seventh daughter, I lift the veil that hides the days and nights ahead. Will you be rich? Will you be lucky in love? Will you be both? For 50 cents, you can know. Not $50, not even $5. 50 cents, folks, for a preview of your own future.
Myra, can I see you for a second?
Oh, Kathy. Honey, by the looks of this crowd, I've got all the time in the world. Sit down, make like a customer. Maybe that'll get him started.
No, I've got to get back to my stand, but... Well, there's something I want to ask you about Uncle Billy.
Oh, I didn't know you knew yet, Kathy. I was afraid you'd be broken up.
Myra, you remember last week after that second big mystery fire downtown, you were telling something about scrap celluloid and paraffin wick. Can you tell me again what it was you said about celluloid?
What's this got to do with old Bill Connolly?
That's what I'm trying to find out. Billy found some scrap celluloid somewhere earlier tonight.
Kathy, you're not trying to say you think old Uncle Billy was a firebug? Of all the people in the world who wouldn't go in for arson.
Myra, you said the firebug who's been setting those big downtown fires probably used celluloid and paraffin wick. Celluloid because it burns fast and doesn't leave ash or odor, and paraffin wick before that to get...
Kathy, child, have you lost your mind? Poor old Bill was drowned, not burned to death.
Thanks, Myra. I'll explain later. I've got to see Adam Savage again fast. Adam, you've got to call the police in again and clear the park.
Take it easy, Kathy. What's this all about?
I'm not sure now that Uncle Billy wasn't murdered. And if he was, I think I know why.
Hey, wait a minute. Where'd you get this wild idea?
You know the pipe tobacco Billy always used? Well, it doesn't come in a blue can.
All right. Maybe it doesn't.
There was scrap celluloid in that blue can when Billy showed it to me, and that could mean that Billy found signs of that firebug getting ready to operate here. The same firebug who set those two big fires downtown last week. And Adam, if it is the firebug, and if he's out there somewhere in that crowd waiting for his chance to touch the place up...
Well, Kathy, perhaps...
Oh, Adam, you will?
Tomorrow or Monday at the coroner's inquest, you can call it homicide, attempted arson, anything you like. And if the cops want to have another quiet look around, I'll cooperate all the way. But I know they won't find anything, so I'm not letting you go off half-cocked tonight.
You can't really stop me, Adam. I could phone the police right now and...
You haven't a scrap of evidence. Get back to your gallery, Kathy. Forget all this nonsense about a firebug being loose.
But there is a firebug loose. Loose and operating all through this area. You've seen about it in the papers yourself.
And I saw where a girl had herself triplet last night at the hospital over town. That mean I have to open an emergency maternity clinic here next to the roller coaster?
Oh.
Now, the thing to remember, Kathy,
the
is
the thing
that...
I'll remember, Adam, is that I don't think Uncle Billy was drinking at all tonight. And he was trying to find out about that celluloid.
That was a pretty long 10 minutes, but I took in 450 for you. 475, as a matter of fact. Of course, I owe you a quarter for another clip I shot off myself. How's that for your new partner, huh?
Thanks, Bob. It's wonderful of you to stand by for me.
Well, it's a pleasure. You'll find the money there in the register, and if you want, I'll start replacing those clay pipes the last couple knocked off.
Thanks, sir. I think I'll be closing up the gallery now.
Closing up? It isn't past 10:30 yet.
I know, but there's something I have to do.
Hey, here. Let me help you with those shutters. What is it you have to do all of a sudden, Kathy?
I have to find a man who may be somewhere in the park.
A man? I suppose I shouldn't ask about him,
This isn't anybody I know, Bob, or anybody I want to know. But if he's here, I have to find him.
Look, Kathy, cut me down if I'm out of line, but I was hoping you'd let me take you out for a while after you finished here tonight.
Oh, that's sweet of you, but not tonight.
Because of this man you've got to find.
Yeah, that closes the place up. Yes, Bob. Because of this man I've got to find. Or at least try to find.
I don't get it, Kathy. Didn't you say he was someone you don't know and don't want to know?
That's right. I think he's a pyromaniac.
A pyro?
Well, isn't that what they call a firebug, a man who likes to start fires?
Well, sure.
And what's more, I think he may be a murderer.
Oh, wait a minute, Kathy. We don't know each other very well yet, but if you think I'd let you or any girl go off alone in search of the kind of trouble you're talking about...
All right, then, Bob. You can come along with me if you want.
You really mean that?
Well, I'd probably need some help anyhow if I ever caught up with this man. And since Adam and Tipper Trask won't believe me...
Kathy, what's this all about?
Well, Bob, a harmless old man was drowned here tonight. And I think he was knocked out first or held under the water till it happened because... I think he found a man putting celluloid or kerosene where it could threaten every building here in the park. And the thing I mean to find out is...
All right, honey, if you have to know, I'll tell you. But I think you and this nice young man ought to be off dancing somewhere instead of plaguing me about arson, Wick.
That's what I've been trying to tell Kathy, Madame Miranda, but she won't listen.
Just describe the wicks again for me, Myra. I want to be sure we'll know what they look like.
Well, you could call it a very fancy way of playing with matches, Kathy. You see, the idea of the thing is to give the firebug some clear getaway time before the fire actually breaks out.
Yeah.
If you took any kind of a lamp wick or a rolled up piece of cloth about, as long as this pencil, say, and soaked it in tallow or paraffin...
Or in bacon fat if you don't have any paraffin.
Well, yes, I suppose nearly any kind of leaf would do. The thing to do, Kathy, once you have some wicks, is to time one or two samples for their burning time. Then you put a collar of matches in one end, sewing a tatium on just barely enough to hold, so they'll pop out every which way when the wick burns up to the matches.
A lot of matches fastened on.
Dozens of them. And then, if you set this wick near a pile of scrap celluloid or waste paper, somewhere under some dry wooden shelves or crates where the fire can get a good start.
Thanks, Myra. I'm pretty sure we'll know what to look for now.
Well, I think if the guy exists, and if he did look in here earlier tonight, and if he had any kind of sense, he'd be miles away by now.
Bob, if our man thought the way normal people do, he wouldn't be what he is. Are you coming with me to have a look around the park or not?
I'll tag along till you give up, Kathy, and then I do think we ought to be reconsidering that late date I asked about.
Kathy? Want 50 cents worth of fortune-telling for free?
Oh, go ahead, Myra. Make fun of me some more.
No. No, honey, I'm not making fun of you now. I say, if you think you've got anything, go out and get some law in on it, whatever Adam says. If you don't, you could be taking on more than you bargained for.
Thanks, Myra, but I'm still going to have my look around.
We're going to have our look, Kathy. I told you, I've signed up for the duration, except just remember, there's supposed to be a mighty fine moon coming up around midnight.
Hey, look at folks. Hey, looky. Buy your tickets, buy this trip. A thrill for young and old and every age in between. You can't take it with you, and who wants to when it's Saturday night at Adam's Paradise? Hey!
Bob, look at that man just over beyond the merry-go-round.
Where?
There, standing half hidden by that poster board.
Oh, sure, I see him now. What's special about him?
Because you see what he's doing? That's the hose outlet leading down from one of the three emergency water tanks in the park.
He's trying to turn that thing on, isn't he?
Of course he is, and it's marked hands off as plainly as you could ask.
Well, why would he be...
He could be trying to drain off all the extra water pressure to hurt the firefighting later. Come on.
Wait a minute, Kathy. Shouldn't we wait?
No, we got to stop him, Bob. Come on. Hey, what do you think you're trying to do, mister? Don't you know you're not supposed to fool around with those water tanks?
Well, what do you know? Are you folks thirsty, too?
Is that what you think that thing is, a drinking fountain?
I don't know what it is, except it ought to have some water in it. If they don't have any fountains around...
They have. There's one just over by the roller skating rink there.
Oh, well, thank you, little lady. Thank you. Didn't see how I was going to get this open without a wrench, anyhow. You say it's over there by the skating rink?
Yes, you can see it from here, by those benches.
So you can. Watch me go over and drink it dry.
Well, that lets him out, doesn't it, Kathy? He's heading straight for the drinking fountain.
Wait a minute, Bob. Just watch him for a minute. Could have been making that up about
you. Oh, not that character, Kathy. Look at him. He's got a grip on the fountain now, and he's drinking away like a camel back from a 10-day desert run. He's really thirsty.
Yes, I admit it looks that
way. I'll tell you what, Cassie. We've been patrolling around now for nearly an hour. Let's have one ride on the roller coaster here before we start again, huh?
But we won't be able to watch people in the crowd from up there.
Well, you'll be able to see the whole park, and it'll give our feet a rest, okay? Just one ride?
Well, I suppose one ride won't lose us too much time.
Atta girl. Let's go. But I certainly didn't mean to be reckless about
it. I'm sure you didn't realize it, Bob, but you did almost have us in danger back there. At least you almost had me in danger. That man behind us hadn't spoken up when he did.
For a couple of minutes there, I guess I was acting like a 10-year-old.
Bob.
What is it, Kathy?
Bob, I just noticed something. You see the back of the Tunnel of Love building over there?
Tunnel of Love?
The place where Uncle Billy's body was found. From the ground, I wouldn't remember how closely it backs up to the old House of Fun, but from up here on this platform, you can see that there's only a narrow alley between them.
I can see a lot of old wooden buildings all jammed together.
I should have realized it before. That House of Fun building's been closed for 2 seasons. And of course, it would be target number one for anybody who wanted to start a bad fire here.
Well, we'll be back on that again.
Back on it, Bob, and I think this time we may be near an answer. Come on, we're having a look inside there.
Junk room like this.
Someone did. No long ago than the night. Well, you saw how that door nearest the Tunnel of Love had been forced open.
Well, if it hadn't been, we wouldn't have been able to get in ourselves. But I still don't see what anybody would be wanting in this dusty old barracks, except maybe some kids.
This is exactly the kind of a place the firebug would hope for.
Can't you see it, Bob?
See what?
Get a fire well started here and the whole park could go up before they got it under control.
Well, it's a fire trap, all right. I'll grant you that.
For an arsonist, it's even better than that, Bob. Almost anywhere else on the ground, a fire might be noticed before it got very far. But here it could be roaring up before anybody even knew it was starting.
Well, Kathy, I didn't want to say this before because I was hoping you'd give up on this obsession after a while.
Obsession?
Yes, obsession. I was hoping you'd give up on it and we could go out tonight. If you're going to waste the whole evening poking around in places like this...
What are you trying to say, Bob? That you think as the others do? That this is a crazy notion I have about Uncle Billy discovering the firebug at work here?
You keep saying firebug, Cassie. You think a man with courage and brains enough to burn up a whole warehouse or apartment building and get away with it is someone to brush off with a ridiculous name like that?
Bob, you wouldn't be defending a man crazy enough to do it.
I wasn't trying to defend him. I just think you ought to remember there might be two sides to everything.
Bob, you almost frighten me. You seem bent on taking this maniac's part. And a moment ago, you were denying that there could be any such man.
Kathy, I guess this is my night for arguing around in circles. All I really want is to get out of this place pretty soon and get started on our plain, old-fashioned Saturday night date. Just the two of us, with no complications at all.
But, Bob, I've almost enough now to prod Adam into action. This old House of Fun broken into at the door nearest the back of the Tunnel of Love. And Bob, look there.
What?
There where my flashlight's pointing. Isn't that a pile of scrap celluloid next to that stack of old empty crates?
Let's have a look.
Come on. Oh, Bob, it is. And look at all the old Excelsior crammed into these crates. This is where the fire was supposed to be started.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Kathy. This looks pretty careless here, I'll admit, but how do we know that Excelsior wasn't just some packing material for whatever came in the crate?
This celluloid was brought in here. There's never been anything like it around the park. This is where the fire was to start, Bob. All arranged and ready for the candle or the arson wick.
You know, Kathy, I guess this is the end of the trail. You've been the only one here at the park smart enough to suspect what was planned for tonight, and now you've merely proved it all the way.
No, it won't be the end of the trail until we catch the firebugs. But this means we can call the police in and get started. And we'll just have to forget his Saturday night business when we show him this.
Kathy, what makes you think your boss will even know about this?
Well, we'll go and tell him now, of course.
Will we?
Bob, what's the matter with you? Of course.
You don't think it'd be a pity to spoil what could be one of the best fires in years around here? All these old wooden buildings that'd go sky high in flames if just one little match were dropped here in the celluloid?
Bob, you've been the one all along.
Where'd you think you were going, Kathy?
Let go my wrist.
Wouldn't that be pretty foolish of me, Kathy, now that you know as much as you do?
You're the firebug. And you're the one who killed old Billy when he found you getting set up here.
That old fool came looking for trouble and he got it. I didn't mind about him, but I'm really going to be sorry about you, Kathy. I wasn't fooling you for when I said that I'd go for you.
Go ahead, scream your head off. With a couple of hundred women out screaming on the roller coaster and every ride in the park, do you think anyone's going to hear you?
You couldn't be crazy enough to think you could get away with two murders.
If I thought I could trust you, Kathy, I'd much rather take you along with me when I clear out of here.
Oh, no, don't try to twist away again. I'd like to take you along, but I've learned there's only one person in the world I can depend on, and that's myself.
You wanted to push me out of the roller coaster. You knew even then that you'd have to try to get rid of me?
You happen to be the only one around here with bad ideas about that old watchman. It was my luck to find that out when all I'd actually looked you up for was to try for a date.
What's that you're taking out of your pocket?
A handy little device you heard badly described by our friend Madame Miranda.
An arson wick.
A much better one, I promise you, than any of the old woman ever heard about. This one will burn for exactly 9 minutes before it sets off the celluloid. Time enough for me to take care of you and get all the way out of the park before this building starts going up.
You really are insane, aren't you?
All it's different for most people, Kathy. As different as a smart wolf from a flock of tame, brainless sheep. Wait a minute now while I set this down here by the celluloid where I can get at it with one hand. Excitement happens to be my pleasure, Kathy. You and all the rest of the sheep are the ones who slave away and build a building. But I'm the lone wolf who can burn them down with one scratch of a match. Like this. Now I just get my 9 minute work started.
You've got 600 or 6,000 customers milling around out there. I'm worried about traffic.
Okay, we'll put a report to the office announcement on the amplifier. I'll throw Tipper and all the spare hands we've got on it.
Thanks, Adam, but I want you to come out on this with me yourself. If you'd only listen to Kathy to start...
Okay, I'll stay along with you, Myra. What'd you figure to start looking?
Well, I think there are just three places in the park where Kathy might not be able to keep everything under control.
Down by the water where the boardwalk's being repaired?
That's one. Or down the basement of the power plant. Or anywhere in the old house of fun.
Now let's try the power plant first. If any trouble ever started there, it could be plenty bad.
Three of the 9 minutes gone, Kathy. Made your mind up yet?
You haven't given me much of a choice, Bob.
That's all I can afford to give you. In 6 minutes, those matches will be popping off into the celluloid, and I've got to be out of here and a couple of miles away by then. Now, which way do you want it?
Just knocked out and left here to burn.
Or really dead before I go, if you don't like the idea of fire. I can make it fast and pretty painless. It keeps from twisting while I use this knife.
I suppose there's no use in too much time.
No. I can't take you with me, even if you pretended you wanted to play along. I know you'd turn on me the first chance you got.
Oh, I know. You're nice. Which would you take, Bob?
That isn't even a choice. Of course, I'd take fire. If it came down to that, I wouldn't have to be knocked out either. Fire's the cleanest, purest thing in the world.
You still have time to put out that burning wick, Bob. And if you gave yourself up and took treatment, maybe you'd still have a chance.
I give the treatments. I don't take them. And that's all the time you get for stalling, Kathy. Now, is it the knife or do I tap you on the head?
Would you like me one final cigarette, Bob?
You said you hardly ever smoked.
I hardly ever get murdered. And don't all condemned people have a right to one last cigarette?
You won't have time to smoke it all the way.
Just to get it started. Then I'll leave the next move up to you.
You won't make a choice.
Well, put the cigarette in my mouth and get the match light. After that, it's up to you.
Okay. There's your cigarette. And here's your match.
Oh, Kathy! You knocked that lighted match
right into the celluloid! And there goes your blaze! I had a schedule!
You crossed me! You crossed me!
Not finding those flames so clean and pure anymore, are you, Bob? Don't waste time trying to stamp it out. It's too late.
It's not too late to knock you right in the middle of that
yes,
fire.
Yes, it is too late, Bob. Look behind you. See who's coming through the window. Adam! Adam, this way, Adam!
Okay, Kathy. Okay, we got him covered. All right, you. Drop the knife and come out of there.
Nobody takes me alive, mister. Nobody.
Look out, Kathy. Look out.
He's not going out to her. He's running right back into the
Bob!
Car. Bob, come back!
Nobody takes me, Kathy. Nobody!
Kathy, honey, you're going to be all right now. The fire's under control.
Mother.
Yes, honey.
Did Bob get away?
No. No, Kathy. Bob finally caught up with enough fire to last him for keeps.
Was created for the National Broadcasting Company by Lawrence Klee. Tonight's script was written by Charles O'Neill. In tonight's cast were Patrick Campbell, Bill Liston, Sidney Smith, Adelaide Klein, Jack Lloyd, and Walter Black. Next week, a disembodied voice dictates the story of love and murder on The Chase. The Chase was directed and transcribed by Dan Fetter. This is Arthur Gary speaking.
Great chimes mean good times on NBC. This Friday evening, Bob and Ray offer you a half hour of sparkling comedy, then Mario Lanza, lovely Giselle McKenzie, and Ray Sinatra in the orchestra spotlight your favorite songs on the Mario Lanza Show. Later, the singing violins on... ...and Ray Sinatra in the orchestra spotlight your...
Adventures in Time and Space. Transcribed in Future Tense.
Dimension X.
The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Street and Smith, publishers of Astounding Science Fiction, bring you Dimension X. The war had been going on for generations. The sea and air were ruled by guided atomic missiles, radiations, and total destruction drove man underground. And there the war continued. The great beds of shale and limestone trembled as an underground cruiser chewed its way through the ageless rock. The ship was squat, ugly, the top of its cutting head 40 feet above the clattering caterpillar treads. It was windowless, and behind the grinding duralloy blades were ugly lumps that concealed the guns. On the bridge, Commander Sanderson fought the bucking vibration, one hand tight on a stanchion.
Culver.
Aye, sir.
What's wrong with the insulation? It's hotter than oven up here.
Port refrigeration unit went out. Starboard can't carry the load. I've got damage control on it.
Oh, go back.
Aye, sir.
Give me a seismo reading.
Severe shock 30 seconds back. Change course to 175 degrees. And half speed, please, sir, till I can chart the strata.
Mr. Culver.
Aye, sir.
175, half speed.
Aye, sir.
Navigation, Lieutenant Watson.
Bridge here. Change course to 175, Watson.
175. Aye, sir.
Clark.
Yes, Mr. Watson.
New course, 175.
175, aye.
Half speed.
Half speed, aye.
What?
We hit something. What is it, Mr. Watson?
It's lava, probably. Maybe it doesn't mean anything.
No, I guess not. Mr. Watson.
Yes, Clark?
Are we ever going to get out of here?
You mean the lava?
The whole business. We've been under rock for 3 months.
You better keep quiet, Clark. Psycho officer has rubber heels.
Oh, I don't care about Carpenter. He's been over me already with those stinking reaction tests. If he gives me one more ink blot to look at...
What's your dial? 1 degree correction.
Right. Mr. Watson, what was it like?
Huh? When?
On the surface. I never saw the surface. I was born in the Denver Cave, half a mile down.
Well, that was a long time ago, Clark.
Yeah. But you remember, don't you? You and Kovacs are the only ones on the ship who remember the surface.
It was war then, too. Kovacs was in the army, the infantry. The queen of battles. Well, the queen's dead now.
What was it like?
You mean in the surface wars?
Yeah.
Well, they had chaplains and...
Chaplains?
I guess you never heard of that. Now we have psycho officers. Yeah, they don't talk about religion much these days.
It must have been something on the surface. I dream about that. I don't know what it was really like, but I dream about it. And then somebody takes me and shoves me down on the bottom of a hot closet. And they shove a big hand over my mouth and I can't breathe. I wake up and I want to bust out of here with my fingernails. I just...
What's the matter, Clark?
Nothing, Dr. Carpenter.
Nothing?
No, sir.
We were just passing the time, Carpenter.
When's the last time you had an emotional reaction test, Watson?
I don't know. I forgot.
Just remember your seniority doesn't exempt you from psychiatric review. This isn't some slipshod surface vessel with organized superstition aboard.
The old chaplains weren't so bad.
Not scientific.
You know, I can remember when psychiatry and mental hygiene were the hope of mankind. Now look at it.
That goes in my report, Watson.
Yeah? Well, make sure you spell my name right.
Now hear this. Now hear this. Attention, all hands. Igneous rock detected. Fresh lava flow. Stand by to go to quarters.
You're lucky, Watson.
That is all.
I'll finish with you later. I've got to check combat detachment.
Sure, sure. Go play with your ink blots. I'm busy.
Go on,
get out of the way. Get down to the combat detachment. They'll be happy to see you. Clark, check those dampers.
I'll take 3 cards.
I'll stand pat.
Jake to the pat hand.
Combat detachment, huh? What kind of a chicken guy are you?
Anytime you want to start anything, you're lying, yelling,
all right, all right. Don't flip your wig.
All right, I don't want no trouble. That rubber-soled rat carpenter, he's worked us all over.
Yeah, all except Norman. Hey, Norman. Norman, how come you ain't been psychoed?
I don't need it. I'm stable.
I bet you any money he's a stoolie for Carpenter. I've seen his 201 personnel file. It's blank.
I heard a guy say he was born in a lab.
What do you mean?
You ever seen him eat?
Oh, you're crazy.
The science brass has been working on something like that.
You're crazy.
You know how many men they fell short in the last draft? 900,000.
So what?
Now, suppose you run out of real men for soldiers. Suppose you figure how to make them. Artificial. If they ever do, they ain't going to talk about it until it's combat tested.
Yeah, I never thought of that. Hey, Newman. What do you got inside of you? Gears?
I'm not supposed to talk about myself.
Yeah? Well, suppose I make you talk.
Hey, sit down, Chip. Sit down, be
quiet. Let go of me or I'll lay you out, too.
Hey, cut it.
Keep your hands off.
Sure.
At ease, men. Well, how's everybody feeling? You, Coke?
All right. I'm all right, sir.
Uh-huh. Sheehan? Sheehan?
I'm all right, sir.
Newman?
I'm all right, sir.
Of course. Very well, carry on.
Miss Anderson, I have my report.
Later, Carpenter.
It's rather important, sir. Serious personnel trouble is indicated below.
It always is. Give your report to Culver. I'm busy.
But, sir...
Go back, give me a geo reading every 10 seconds.
Aye, sir. Straight as steady as before.
Mr. Culver.
Later.
If you will initial the psycho report.
All right, hurry up. This is no time for non-combat chicken.
Seismo reading, sudden fault, igneous activity ahead.
That means the enemy, Mr. Culver.
Aye, sir.
Elevate the cutters 25 degrees. We're going up and come on the enemy from above.
Aye, sir.
Navigation, Watson.
Elevate 25 degrees.
25 elevation. Aye, sir.
Figures ahead on sonar. Sounds like three.
All right, sound general quarters.
Aye, sir.
All right, general quarters.
I have all this thinking luck. Aces I got.
Get into your armor, you tub of lust.
Yeah, give me a hand, Sheehan. The oxygen valve on my helmet's stuck. It's too tight. Helmet's too tight.
You eat too much.
At least I eat. Not like Norman.
Yeah, look at him. Full armor and he's still smoking. I bet he lives on nicotine. Hey, Newman.
Yes?
You live on nicotine?
Tobacco is necessary to me.
Say that, a rope. What did I tell you?
All right, shut up and test your helmet radio. Snap it down.
Okay.
Now I'll get mine.
Can you hear me? Is my intercom okay?
Okay. Keep the power up.
Newman, check your intercom.
I can hear you.
Attention. Attention, combat detachment, move out.
Where are those chow runners with battle breakfast?
Breakfast, huh? I can remember when I had meat in the chow. When I had cooks instead of food chemists, first class.
Quit griping, Coke. At least we eat.
Yeah, we eat. How about him? Want any breakfast, Norman? No. I don't need breakfast. I can wait without it.
Navigation, Watson.
Bridge here. Half speed. Half speed.
Half speed, aye. Clark?
What?
What's the matter? You got the shakes?
No, I'm all right.
Half speed.
Half speed, aye.
Attention, all hands. Enemy digger sighted.
What? Huh?
Prepare for action at close quarters. Enemy digger sighted.
You hear that, Watson?
Prepare for action at close quarters.
Full speed forward.
No, I won't.
What? Come on, full speed forward.
No. Another inch. Stop this ship.
Get away from there.
Let me go. I've got to stop the ship. I won't be killed. I won't. I won't be killed.
Get away from the controls, Clark. Are you hurt? All right, take it easy now.
What? I've got a gun. Stop this ship. Stop it before I shoot you.
Now take it easy, boy.
I won't be killed. I won't let them. I'll give you three, Watson, then I shoot.
I don't know what you're doing.
I'm going to stop the ship. One...
You could have wounded him, Carpenter. That would have been enough.
My judgment was that Clark was more than a marginal risk. I acted accordingly.
Sure. I'll get a detail to clean up after you.
Well, Doctor... Commander says you rate a citation.
If you had read my report, Mr. Culver, you'd understand.
Carpenter.
Aye, sir.
Don't let the crew hear of this. Wouldn't do for them to know an officer was emotionally unstable.
You won't keep it quiet, sir. There was a detail to remove the body.
What's that?
Enemy digger within 100 feet, coming in fast.
Hold it, Culver. Don't reverse engines. Turn on the drill with the tread stationary.
Aye, sir.
Full speed drill.
threads cut out.